Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's our Pets and Vets program for the month of August this afternoon. Here to take your calls is Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin of Del Mar Animal Hospital in Del Mar, New York, a USDA Category 1 accredited veterinarian. Dr. O'Loughlin is a graduate of Cornell University. She joined the Del Mar Animal Hospital staff in 1998. Number to call here is 1-888. No, it's not. It's 1-800-348-2551. Again, that correct number is 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You can tweet, if you wish, at @WAMCVoxPop. You could go to our Facebook page. We have a Vox Pop post at WAMC Radio. Or you can comment below the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop. But by all means, call 1-800-348-2551. Well, here she is, a Category 1 accredited veterinarian, Carrie O'Loughlin. Is there a Category 2?
Yes. So
not as good?
No, they do more. They do large animal as well. I just do small animal.
Okay, so if I had a cow issue,
yes,
we'd go to a Category 2. Is there a Category 3?
I don't believe so.
Dinosaurs?
I think it's just 1 and 2. No.
Okay. All right, fair enough. How has the summer been?
Very good.
Yeah?
Very good.
Working hard?
Working hard, and I just came back from a nice vacation, so I'm pretty relaxed.
You do look very relaxed, and there was a brief moment or two I thought you weren't going to come at all.
Yeah.
But you made it, and you're right on time, so let's go to the phones. Bee in Glenmont. Bee, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Hi, Doctor.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a very obese cat. She's 8 years old. Last year, she tore her ACL, and I took her to her vet, and who said, you know, we don't typically do surgery on this, especially when she's obese like this. Just give her time. I had her on pain meds for a little bit, and, you know, it'll heal over time. Well, recently she was just sick, and I had her to another vet closer to my home who said, oh, well, we like to do surgery on ACL. So I'm calling to get your take on that.
Well, I would definitely, you know, in dogs, unless they're really, really aged, we pretty much do recommend surgery. Cats, people are of differing opinions.
Right.
Cats are excellent healers on their own. The joke in the veterinary community is a cat with a broken bone, if you get both ends of the bone in the same room, it will heal. So, yeah, some people will kind of let cats heal on their own. Personally, I have a cat who tore both of his ACLs over a period of several months, and I had surgery done on both his knees.
Yeah.
That said, he now is 16 and does have arthritis in both his knees. Now, whether he would have had that anyway, I don't know. You know, certainly, how much does your cat weigh?
Well, she's about 5 pounds overweight, so we're working on that to get her down, and she's losing some, and she's moving around quite well, and she plays with our other cat, but once in a while, she comes up lame on it.
Right.
So I worry about that. I have her on Cosequin. I don't know if that's really going to help her at all.
It definitely should. I mean, you know, for those who don't know, Cosequin is a glucosamine-type product, which will help with general joint disease. You know, whether she has surgery or not, as I found with my cat, that knee is probably never going to be normal again. So I think the Cosequin's a good idea.
And
how long has it been since she tore it?
It's almost been a year.
Okay.
Yeah, it's almost been a year. So, and she goes through 3 or 4 months where she's really just fine and good. And then when she got sick last week, I had her to the vet, and he was moving it around a lot, so it agitated it.
Right. Right.
So, you know, she's limping on it now.
Right. Mm. You know, if it's still unstable, then, you know, surgery may be helpful. They don't do the same surgery in cats that they do in dogs. It's a much more abbreviated thing where they basically sort of tighten up around the joint to help stabilize it because they don't have the weight bearing that the dogs do.
Right.
So, you know, I guess it would be up to the vet who has seen her last to determine whether they think she's a good surgical candidate.
B, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. Do they do in veterinary medicine the same type of thing that you see with baseball players with Tommy John, where they'll take the ligament of a cadaver and replace the ligament of an animal?
Well, not a cadaver so much. The one procedure that was done for years for dogs actually used a piece of their own, basically a fascia, which is a covering of a muscle,
mm-hmm.
And they would use that to make a new ligament. Most times these days they do more higher procedures where you're actually implanting metallic.
So you have synthetic versions of...
Yeah, well, you're not so much replacing the ligament. You're stabilizing the knee in other ways.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Line two, it's Brian in Woodstock. Brian, you're on.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. And I appreciate the show and learn a lot. The pet here today is a 15-year-old 10-pound poodle. And last 6 months was diagnosed with Cushing's disease. So she's eating and urinating a lot. She was on Vetrol for a little while until she just had some kind of unknown crisis, and she's been off of it and being evaluated at this time, you know, to see if she can get back on it. But my question would be the ramifications of the disease. I mentioned muscle wasting, and I understand it affects the kidneys, urinary tract infections, that sort of thing.
Cushing's is a glandular issue?
Yes. So Cushing's is a disease of the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands produce a lot of hormones, including cortisone. And in Cushing's disease, it's an overproducing of the hormones. So the dogs make way too much cortisone, which is the main problem that causes the clinical signs. So over time, cortisone can cause muscle wasting, which can make the dogs over time weak, and sometimes even have some difficulty breathing if their respiratory muscles get weak. The biggest problem for most clients and dogs, though, is drinking and peeing. The dogs become a drinking machine, and they tend to have accidents in the house. It can cause urinary tract infections as well, which then makes them have more accidents. And it basically becomes a housekeeping issue more than anything else. Mm. Over time, yes, you know, kidney problems can occur, but I've known a lot of dogs that have lived with Cushing's for years, and as long as the owners can get them out frequently and get them out to pee, not all people will treat their dogs for Cushing's.
And how would you treat that? Is it a hormonal treatment?
Well, it's the medication he mentioned, Vetrol, basically blocks the production of cortisone.
Mm-hmm.
There's other medications which actually kind of kill off certain cells in the adrenal glands. And that, unfortunately, can go too far. And then you have another disease called Addison's.
Okay. Now, Brian's dog is 15 years old. That's a pretty old dog.
It is a pretty old dog. So, I mean, my feeling is, Brian, if your dog is not, you know, peeing all over your house, and she had problems on the Vetrol, you might try her off of it. The other option is to try her back on, you know, on a different dose, and or with, sometimes we'll do very, very small doses of cortisone along with the Vetrol to keep them sort of at a low level.
Very good. Well, thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Ray.
You're very welcome.
At what point, now, first of all, Brian's dog is a 15-year-old poodle, I believe, right? How long does a poodle usually live?
Oh, gosh. Poodles can live into their late teens pretty easily.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At what point in a pet's life do you say, and this is a philosophical question more than anything, at what point do you say, this dog or cat's had a really good run? It's not worth the agony on the cat or otherwise.
It all depends on quality of life. You can have, you know, a 6-year-old animal that's in terrible shape, or you can have a 16-year-old animal that's in great shape and still playing ball and, you know, doing agility and all sorts of stuff. So it totally depends on the individual animal.
So you wait for the animal to more or less tell you.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, it's how are they getting, how are they enjoying life? Are they able to do what they like to do?
Hmm.
All of that.
The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Tell you what, Zach, the engineer, we'll go a minute early here, take a break. We'll be back with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin and your calls.
Support for WAMC comes from Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, with a new juice bar now open at the Rhinebeck location with over 30 varieties of organic juices and smoothies made to order. SunflowerNatural.com. Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day so you or a loved one can stay in your home. Supporting the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy, InterimHealthcare.com. The Theater Company at Hubbard Hall, Cambridge, New York, announcing their new theater season with the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, a winter carnival of new plays, Molière's La Touffe and An Iliad, hubbardhall.org. And Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Berkshire Community College, offering classes in the arts, literature, history, science, plus talks, trips, and events for people 50 years old and up. 413-236-2190.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Pets and Vets. Couldn't resist a little bumper music. The Simpsons. The Simpsons huge marathon has been going on cable channel for about a week now, and there's several days to go. And I've forgotten how much fun I've had watching The Simpsons. I haven't watched it in the last few years, so. But I digress. It's Pets and Vets. Kerry O'Loughlin is here. Let's go back to the phones. Andrew in Rhinebeck. Andrew, you're on.
Hello. Hi, doctors. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I had an interesting summer. I had, first off, my dog broke his cruciate ligament and had a surgery called the TTA, and that was in early June. He's doing fine. But then my cat decided to get in the limelight, and she's about 6 or 7 years old, and she seems to have come down with these lesions up around her shoulder, which ulcerated a little bit, and the indication are maybe eosinophilic granulomas.
Yes.
And it responded well to a cortisone shot and some antibiotic, but no definitive diagnosis. So at this point, and it's sort of getting angry again. So I'm wondering what you think the next step should be.
So the cat is 6 years old, and this started just this summer?
Yeah, it started about in June, right when about the dog had his surgery.
Okay. So for those who obviously don't know, eosinophilic granulomas are sores that cats get due to allergy. So basically this says your cat has an allergy. The question is allergy to what?
Exactly.
And 6 years old is the upper end of the range for developing environmental allergies. They usually say around 2 to 6 years old for environmental allergies. And being that it did start in the summer, it certainly could be a seasonal allergy, which would be the simplest thing because then it's something you're only going to have to deal with in the summertime. The only way to know that is to see whether this continues once everything dies outside. If it continues once everything dies outside, then we're much more thinking food allergy. And cats, again, can develop a food allergy anytime in their life.
Yeah.
So
even something they've eaten all along.
Exactly. They can eat the same food day in and day out, and at the age of 10, suddenly decide, I'm allergic to chicken.
Why?
Who knows?
Really?
Ask the immune system.
Okay.
We don't know.
Okay.
Well, it's like people, too, for that matter.
Right.
Food allergies can pop up at almost any time, and it's pretty scary.
Right, right. So I guess what I would recommend, since she responded to the cortisone injection, I'm assuming they gave her a long-acting cortisone shot called Depo-Medrol. Does that sound familiar?
It didn't name it, but it lasted about a little under a week.
Oh, okay. Then it was not a long-acting one then. Because a long-acting one could last up to 2 months.
No, then.
So if she responded to the cortisone, then you may want to speak to your vet about getting her onto some form of oral cortisone that you can taper down. The idea is cortisone is a wonderful drug. It works great for allergy, but you want to use the least amount that you can get by on and keep her from scratching herself silly. Once the season ends, then you see what happens if you can take her off. And if you can take her off and it doesn't come back, then you don't have to worry about it until next summer.
Okay. And no biopsy or food trial then at this point? You wouldn't recommend?
If it were me, I probably would hold off on a food trial because honestly, doing a food trial is a bit of a pain in the neck. And if, you know, I would wait until the fall, and if she's still itchy in the fall, then I would definitely do food trial.
Okay. Andrew, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it very much. As far as figuring out a food allergy in a cat, isn't it, it takes a long time.
Yeah. Well, actually, cats are a little quicker than dogs, but it is difficult, one, if the cat goes outdoors, because you don't know what the cat's eating outside.
Right.
And to do a food trial for food allergy, you have to take them off of every single thing that they put in their mouth and put them on a very, very limited ingredient diet.
Right.
So, you know.
Can't you just do what people do and have an allergy test?
You can allergy test for environmental allergies. They have not found it to work very well for food.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin is our guest. 1-800-348-2551. Ruby in the Hudson Valley. Ruby, you're on. Or not.
Hello.
Oh, you're there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're on with Dr. O'Loughlin.
Hi, Ruby.
Great, thank you. Hi. Okay, so I have a 7-year-old Rottweiler, and she's about, when she was at the vet, she was 95, and they said that she should lose about 15 pounds. I think she's maybe down to 85, I'm hoping, possibly 90 pounds. Anyway, she travels with me all the time, and we work outside. So she is running a lot and is very active. So she has lameness, and she's sore. And I heard another caller talking about the joint health.
Yes.
And you mentioned, well, I guess they mentioned Cosequin, and I did have her on Cosequin double strength. Is that something that you recommend?
I do. I do. Did you notice a difference while she was on it?
That's a good question. We weren't, she wasn't having as much trouble. So I would say yes. And then I spoke to another woman who raises Newfoundland, and she said to use this microlactin. Have you heard of that at all?
I have not. You know, there are a lot of products that are out there that, you know, are potentially anti-inflammatory or will help with, you know, joint pain. So I'm not going to poo-poo anything. You know, I'm just not particularly familiar with that one.
Okay.
You know, certainly for, you know, a middle-aged Rottweiler, and actually, you know, unfortunately for a Rottweiler, 7 is upper middle-aged.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately, they just don't live that long, usually. Weight loss is the primary thing. So, you know, you want to get to the point where you can feel her ribs and she has a nice waistline. So, you know, really getting into keeping an eye on her diet, cutting back on her food, you know, fill her up with vegetables if you have to. That alone will help tremendously. And then doing something like a glucosamine chondroitin supplement like Cosequin. And then if she still has a bad day where she runs too hard, a little pain medication.
I was just going to ask him, thank you for saying that. Is aspirin okay?
Generally, as an over-the-counter first trial thing, aspirin is generally what I'll reach for.
And what dosage?
You know, for a dog that size, easily an adult strength aspirin, really almost 2 adult strength aspirin.
I gave her 325 milligrams.
Yep, and if that works for her, great. You know, you have to be careful with aspirin. Some dogs are very aspirin sensitive. It can cause stomach upset. If they're on it constantly, it can tend to cause some ulcers
in
the stomach.
Like,
so you do have to be a little careful with it. But the occasional dose usually is not going to be a big problem for most dogs.
Omega-3 fatty acid supplement?
Never a bad thing. They're great for the skin. They are potentially good for the joints as well. So, and you can't hurt a dog with them.
Thanks, Ruby. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. What about acupuncture?
Acupuncture is great for arthritis.
Yeah?
Yep.
And I guess the sort of the beef some people have with it with humans is, some people say, well, it's all in the mind. It's mind over matter, and you think it's going to work, and it does. But I've talked to more than one vet who says, this works, and it's not a mind over the matter,
exactly.
matter thing.
I mean, dogs and cats don't know that it's supposed to be working for them. So
and you see results?
I have seen results, yes.
Across the board or just once in a
no,
while?
No, I mean, it depends on what you're treating. I mean, I personally had tried acupuncture on two of my dogs, but I waited too long, and they had spinal cord problems, and it was just too late.
Yeah.
You know, nothing I think was going to help them. So, you know, in that case, what are you going to, you know, you can't blame it on the acupuncture. But okay. I have seen acupuncture work very well.
All right, let's go to Tiffany in Massachusetts. Tiffany, where are you in Massachusetts?
Sturbridge.
Okay, nice to have you on. You are on with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin.
Hi, I have a cat. He's 9 years old. And for about a year or so, he's had like a really runny nose and sneezing a lot and a lot of discharge. I've taken him to the vet a few times, and they gave him a antibiotic shot that was supposed to last like 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked really well the first time, and so-so the second time. The next time we went, they gave us antibiotic pills and lysine powder to give to him. And I gave that to him. Kind of mixed up in his food, and he did that for about a week or so, and then he kind of started balking at it and wouldn't eat it anymore. And I never really saw any improvement when he was on it anyways, so I'm not too sure what else we can do to try to help him with his sneezing problem.
Okay, so he's 9?
He's 9.
And this is the first time he's had problems with his nose?
It's been going on for a while, I would say, you know, maybe a year or so.
Right, but prior to that, he didn't have problems with
no.
sneezing or runny nose.
Nope.
Yeah. The concern I would have is his age. We certainly see a lot of cats who were exposed as kittens to respiratory disease, and you know they have recurrent issues with that because of the viruses that can stay active in their body. But to have him be good until 8 and then suddenly start having respiratory problems makes me a little more nervous. Have they done any workup on him as far as blood work or x-rays of his head or anything like that?
They have not done anything like that.
Okay. You know, it's kind of a pain to look at the sinuses in a cat. They're not the easiest thing to examine. You know, a big dog, you could stick a scope up their nose, and they do make itty-bitty tiny scopes for cats, but it might be something to think about, at least having, you know, a conversation with your vet about looking a little more deeply into the cause of this.
Okay.
If that doesn't work or the finances are such that you can't, I have had some pretty good luck lately using a drug that's actually made for vomiting, and it's called Serenia. It's technically off-label use in cats, but it's been used quite a bit in cats in Europe and Canada, and a lot of vets in the States use it. And it has some anti-inflammatory effects, and I've had some chronic runny-nose cats do very well on the Serenia.
Okay.
And does the doctor have to prescribe that, or can I get that?
Oh, it's definitely, yes, it's definitely a prescription.
Okay. So. All right, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Tiffany. Off-label use. How do you, is there an anecdotal body of information, or do doctors talk to each other across the world and
yep.
say, well, this worked for me, I tried it?
Yep, and the problem is for the drug companies to get the drugs to be labeled, they have to do such extensive testing that a lot of times they don't go to the trouble
yeah.
to test it. So unfortunately, as veterinarians, we are often forced into using drugs off-label because
and that's okay.
we just don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to have clients sign off and, you know, all this that you're using off-label. But
how would you make that decision? In other words, nothing else is working.
Oh, well, I,
what
you know,
sort of research
you definitely
do, you have
do
to
it.
Do?
You definitely look at, you know, there we have luckily access to a on the internet to a veterinary network called the Veterinary Information Network, where there are a lot of experts that go on there. And I use that as a, you know, instead of looking things up in books, because things move so fast in medicine these days that a lot of times we use VIN as our number one source and see what the experts on there are saying. That's where I heard about using the Sirenia in respiratory cases.
Have you ever tried one that has not been spoken about yet? Have you been a trailblazer?
No.
No?
Not that brave.
All right. Let's go to Kathy in Seward. You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I have a fairly old cat. She's 16, 17, something like that. A little bit long-haired. And last winter, her coat seemed to get, like, really matted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if she's not cleaning herself. I mean, it was never a problem until recently. And she is pretty old.
Right.
You know, but I was wondering, you know, it's such a difficult task to brush her enough and, you know, use a special comb to get these mats out of her fur. If there was anything, you know, perhaps dietary-wise that I could give her that would help her, you know, get rid of these mats or prevent them in any way.
Well, I wish there was. Unfortunately, the problem with the older cats is I always kind of describe to people a cat grooming itself is like a person doing yoga.
Uh-huh.
The positions that they have to get into
yeah.
to get to all these spots. And when, you know, they get to be 15, 16, I mean, most of these cats have arthritis. And
mm-hmm.
it just is too much work. And so
yeah.
they'll give it a half-hearted lick and then say, yeah, that's enough.
Right.
And then over time, the hair becomes matted.
Right.
So unfortunately, what we usually end up having to do with a lot of these older cats is do a one-time grooming, get all the mats cut out of them, and then show the owners how to keep them groomed. And it's just, unfortunately, you have to do the grooming for them at this point. They can't do it themselves.
So the brushing, the constant
brushing and
brushing
combing
is,
yep.
is the only real
yep.
solution.
But once they have those really nasty mats, you really, unfortunately, have to shave them off. And I would be very cautious if you try to remove them yourself. We've had a number of clients cut their cat's skin
Ooh.
Trying to cut the mats off. So
yeah.
it's probably
yeah.
something best to have done by a groomer or a veterinarian.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, okay. Kathy. What about a bath?
A bath isn't going to get rid of the mats. I mean, once it's knotted,
yeah.
it's usually
so
very...
So like dreadlocks?
Yeah. You have to cut them out.
Okay.
Sometimes you can comb small knots out, but usually most of the time, by the time we see them, they're almost like felted.
All right. And not all cats get that, right?
Certain
breeds?
But I've even seen short-haired cats get mats when they're older and they don't groom themselves well.
All right. Let's go to Lynn in Shelburne Falls. Lynn, you're on.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got several cats, and one of them has an allergy to something, and we were unsuccessful to as far as giving her alternative food. Having several cats, it's very hard to, you know, fix that up.
Yes.
She didn't like them anyway. So we decided maybe it was an allergy to litter. Have you heard anything about that?
Liver?
Allergy to litter.
Oh, gosh. Cat, I've seen animals allergic to their well water. You can be allergic to anything.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. The other one, one of the other ones have a chronic yeast infection in his ears. And I've gotten rid of it. Once, he's 13 years old, and I was given the wrong medication, I guess, for many years, and it was just, like, not doing much of anything. And I was cleaning his ears out and all the kind of stuff that you have to do, but now I got something that worked, and it was tablets and something else, but it's come back again. And I just can't stand watching him scratch his ears and rub his ears, and he's kind of, you know, he gets really, if I do this thing again, very... big thing. You had to clean their ears out, and you make sure they're dry, and you put the drops in, you give them the pill. He just hates it. You know, I know it's okay with me when a cat hates something, but he hates it so much, and he's such a docile kitty. Is there anything that can get rid of this thing once and for all?
Probably not, unfortunately. We definitely do see cats who develop chronic waxy ears, and often... if you get them really clean and you look down in there with an otoscope, you'll see that their ear canals are lined with these little sort of purpley growths, which are actually overgrowth of the wax glands. It's like their wax glands kind of go crazy. And they just make way too much wax. And then that predisposes them to getting the yeast infections. So a lot of these chronic kitties, I will recommend, you know, if we try getting them cleaned up, we get them cleaned up and they keep coming back, to just sort of get on a little bit of a chronic treatment where you're just putting a little medicine in fairly regularly. Yeah. Just to keep it down to a dull roar so they're not so itchy.
And that's okay for the cat?
For these, usually these are older cats and you're just trying to keep them comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, besides that, you know, would be looking again into allergies, because this could be an allergy. But it sounds like it's hard with your house situation to deal with the food allergies. So,
well, this is something developed in this cat later on. But yes, I heard what you said before.
Right.
Okay, then. But it sounds better to put some drops in after you get it, you know, to a certain point than to have to go through the whole rigmarole for 10 days again and have them just like.
Yep, exactly. Yep. They also make some ear cleaners that have sort of anti-yeast, antibacterial medication built right into it. So that's something to think about as well.
We're going to take a break here. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back. Boy, the show's moving along quickly. The home stretch with Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Pets and vets, don't you know? More on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts. Specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations, serving Western Massachusetts. KentHicksConstruction.com. Stewart's Shops, we are closer to you, a family and employee-owned business. Shakespeare & Company, celebrating Shakespeare's 450th with classical and contemporary theater, including Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, now playing, and Private Eyes, beginning September 20th, Shakespeare.org. And Goldman Tripp Osteopathic Healthcare, Sharon, Connecticut, and Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Physicians specializing in osteopathic manual medicine, GoldmanTRIPP.net.
Okay, we're back on Vox Pop. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Carrie O'Loughlin, here's one via email from Cass in beautiful South Egremont. Cass says, we've adopted two great cats right off the street, but now it looks like we'll be going to a shelter for the first time. We're a bit nervous. Any tips on finding the right kitty among a group in the shelter?
That's a tough one. I currently have one of my cats that I got out of a shelter. As a vet, usually they find you. You don't have to find them. But
cats are like that.
Yeah. but I actually went and picked Oliver out of the shelter. And I remember at the time there were two cats, him and his brother. They both looked pretty identical. I just spent a little time with each of them. And Oliver just seemed to, we tend to bond it a little bit more. It's sort of a personal choice. It depends on, are you looking for a boy, a girl? Do you want a long hair or short hair? Do you care what color? And then it comes down to just spending some time and seeing which cat seems to hit it off with you.
The more I hang around cats, the more I'm quite convinced they're very smart, or some of them at least. They seem to have a good idea about people and things, and like a poker player can read someone. It's quite amazing.
Oh, yeah. Cats are very, very smart.
Let's go to Maria in Cornwallville. Maria, you're on.
Hi, good day. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have two questions about two separate pets. My first is a one-year-old black lab Great Dane mix. Awesome dog. And we go for a walk every single day, and he's wonderful. But every time lately for the last couple of weeks, all of a sudden we're walking, and then he just darts off and runs and doesn't come back for like 20 minutes, totally disregards my calls, my, you know, treats, shaking. Nothing can get him to come back. He's easy to train. And I don't know. It just all of a sudden just came out of nowhere.
So,
we have this beautiful dirt road, country road. We live in the country on a mountaintop, and it's beautiful. And he has plenty of places to roam and run. And but lately, he's just been running off, and I can't seem to do anything about it.
So have you had him since he was a puppy?
Yeah, since he was 3 months.
Okay. And have you done obedience classes with him?
We have not. We have been suggested about that and wondering if you recommended anyone because, like I said, he learns really quickly.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that it's now I'm seeing this and I'm just worried he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's just sort of reached his maturity and I think he's getting a little bit of a mind of his own. And
yeah.
He obviously doesn't feel like he needs to listen to you. So,
like my children.
Yeah.
So
I would get him in an obedience class. There are a bunch of different obedience classes in the area, and they are vastly different. Some classes are all positive reinforcement. Some are more of corrective behavior. It kind of depends on what you're looking for. So I would call around and ask.
Okay,
also,
and
some classes are easier to get into as well. So
okay, and would you suggest, is it better to go to a class or have them come to your home?
Oh, personally, I kind of think it's a good idea to go to a class unless you have a really disruptive dog, because then your dog learns to listen to you with distractions.
All right.
It's one thing if they learn at your home, but if they have to listen to you where there are other people around and other dogs around and all that, I think it helps better.
Okay.
And
he's
certainly
record.
Not too old. My first obedience class that I took my very first puppy to, we had a 6-year-old collie who continuously ran off, and that dog ended up being the best dog in the class.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay.
I think he'll be the best dog in the class, too. And I just have one more question, and I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but we have a Vietnamese potbelly pig. Do you deal with Vietnamese potbelly pigs?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Really?
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to try to find maybe a vet who can come to our house because she's big. She's like 120 pounds.
Wow.
And she's like 3 years old, and she's awesome. She's indoor, outdoor, and she's like a dog, and she's lovely. We just had some questions about her eyes, and so I guess I'll try to find
her. Yeah, I would call around and see. You know, there are some vets in the area that do exotics, and they may, you know, make a house call, but I would call and ask.
That's category two?
Possibly.
Or 1.5.
Yeah, sort of 1.5.
All right, that's a 120-pound pig. That's a heck of a pig. Let's go to Mary Kay in Pittsfield. Mary Kay.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. As everyone says, it's a good greeting. I have two questions. One, I did rescue work in New York for many years. Four of them are still with me, so I don't know their backgrounds, et cetera. I have one that has a 4-year-old female cat that has behavioral problems. She always has. And so recently I got a prescription. She aggresses on the others. She sometimes bites me. She bites visitors. And so I got a prescription from the vet, and I'll read it to you. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Fluoxetine.
Fluoxetine, yep.
Fluoxetine, 10 milligram, quarter tab a day. I'm afraid to give it to her because someone who is more experienced with this pharmaceutical than I said that her cat actually got worse on it, and she said it's because it's a generic. Can you advise me on this? Because I don't want her to get worse.
Well, so basically fluoxetine is generic Prozac.
Okay.
And I use it a fair amount myself. One of my cats is on it.
Really?
It can be very good for certain behaviors. Now, mm-hmm. the problem is depending on what is driving your cat's behavior, you know, Prozac basically is an anti-anxiety medication. So if your cat is acting out because she's anxious, it may calm her down and help her. Now, if you have a cat who's acting out for other reasons and you sort of release any inhibitions they have, it can potentially make them worse.
And how soon would I see indications she was going? Well,
it generally,
I mean, is it a week or 2 weeks?
No, it's Prozac is a fairly slow uptake drug. It has to build. It has they have to make enzymes in their system to have it work properly. So it can take up to a month.
Okay.
So, you know, I would give it a try. I mean, if it doesn't work, you wean her off and you go figure something else out.
Okay. And she would start to get worse if it was something else driving her behavior.
Exactly.
Okay. The second question I have is, have you had any experience or do you know of doses of prednisone on cats, particularly middle-aged male cats, causing diabetes? Because I did have a male cat, 12 years old, who got diabetes after being given prednisone. I mean, he had it within days, and he'd had a CBC, full blood done. It was for dental, and poor fellow lived with it for 5 years. But have you had experience with this? Because I've had vets tell me that, yes, it's becoming known that there can be a relationship between dosing with prednisone and diabetes.
Yes, absolutely. That is one side effect in cats that we have to be concerned about, which is why I told a previous caller who had a cat with allergies that you always want to use the very lowest dose you can. And only use it when you have to. And certainly in, you know, cats that are prone to diabetes, overweight cats, things like that, you really want to be careful. There's no absolute dose. I've seen cats be on prednisone for years and years and never have a problem. And I've seen cats get one shot of cortisone and become diabetic.
Wow.
So it's hard to know.
Well, thank you, Mary Kay.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate the call. Does that happen in people, too? You get a shot of cortisone, and then you're diabetic?
That, I don't know. You'd have to ask an MD. Got the wrong initials after my name.
So category 7.
No.
All right, Peggy in Milford, Pennsylvania. Peggy, you're on.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a 9-year-old male cat who is indoor, has been with me since he was a kitten, he and his brother. He has seizures.
Too bad.
Yeah, too bad is right. Idiopathic, and oddly enough, only about twice a year. And for some even odder reason, which may be idiosyncratic for him, they happen in March and October.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know, I've spoken to many people about this and to see if anyone could understand why, and of course there are many theories out there, but the other thing is that he has them during his sleep. I shouldn't say that. They generally happen during sleep time, in the middle of the night. He'll be sound asleep, and all of a sudden he'll jump up, fall off the bed, and start seizing.
Oh, dear.
I haven't medicated him yet because I was instructed by more than one vet not to, because he only has them a couple of times a year. And he is otherwise a very happy, healthy, affectionate, just adorable animal. I love him to death. I had some blood work done. One vet tested for a toxoplasmosis, which showed positive, and her statement was that he could have cysts in his brain that would cause, and maybe I didn't understand that correctly, that might cause these type of seizures. He didn't start having them until he was 3 years old.
Right.
The concern that I have is about 2 weeks ago, he had one during the day. And I know that I'm not home all the time, but I know when he has them because he emits a fluid from his body that has a very acrid kind of smell.
Yes, most likely, and his anal glands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can smell it as soon as you walk through the door. So, and I can smell it in the house even after I clean up after he's had a seizure. So I know that he's not having them during the day, because when I come home at the end of the day, I would smell this smell.
Right.
But as I said, about 2 weeks ago, it was a fluke. I happened to be home and I heard a scratching noise, and it was totally unexpected. But anyway, I went into the bedroom, and he was having, it was a mild seizure at this point. My question is, any idea what could be causing the seizure outside of, I have not had MRIs, I have not had X-rays, outside of, you know, the blood work that I had, which showed basically normal except for the toxoplasmosis. And I I've read that gluten sensitivity can cause seizures in people. It could that be a possibility?
I think it's unlikely.
You
know, a cat that has seizures that infrequently, there's probably just a little spot in his brain that, you know, is not quite right. You know, they're a little scar. Could it be from toxoplasmosis? Possibly. But, you know, it's obviously not active or he would be getting worse. So I don't know that you're ever going to know the cause of these at this point. And I totally agree with the other vets. A cat who only has seizures once or twice or three times a year, you're not going to medicate, because the only medication, the only really good medication that we can use in cats, you have to give every day, twice a day. So it's putting a burden on you. It's a burden on the cat to have stuff pushed down their throat twice a day. You're only going to do that if he's having seizures more than a couple times a month.
Okay, let's go to Sherry in Del Mar. Sherry, you're on.
Hi, I've got a really quick question. We have two Maine Coon cats. One is 11 and one is 1 year old. And the 11-year-old is male, and our little one is a female, which we adopted just about a year ago this weekend. And just for the last couple of nights, the older cat has started needing the younger cat at night. And typically they'll sleep at the foot of our bed, and he just has started this. And he's not terribly aggressive, but it's sort of an odd behavior that just complete recent onset. And the younger cat will put up with it for a couple of minutes, and then we'll hear her kind of whimpering. And we're not really sure what to do. They're perfectly healthy. They have all the comforts that they could want, and it seems to be a behavioral issue, but we're not really sure what to do.
Huh. My guess is I would let them work it out.
Really?
I would let them work it out. I mean, to me, it's a comforting thing for a cat to do that. I mean, they'll sometimes do it to humans when they're happy and comfortable. I think it's a sign that he's very much accepting your younger cat. And potentially now sees her as, you know, someone he can go for comfort. And if the younger cat really hates it, at some point she's going to just push him away and say, stop it. And they'll work it out. You know, I had one cat who I adopted as a kitten slightly older than these two other kittens. And they nursed on him for almost a year.
Yikes.
And his belly would get all sore, and I was like trying to put things on it so he would taste bad, and
put a sweater on it.
He finally weaned them at about a year, and he just said enough is enough, and they stopped doing it.
Well,
so
Sherry, thanks a lot for the call here. We're going to go quickly to Karen in Amherst. Karen, you're on.
Yeah, hi there. I'll try and keep it really quick because I know we're out of time. I have an almost 13-year-old golden retriever / Brittany Spaniel. He's always tended to be kind of anxious, didn't like thunderstorms, stuff like that. So this summer, he got sprayed really badly in the face with a skunk. And, you know, my husband gave him, you know, all the baths and everything. Still smells a little bit of the skunk, even though he used the best stuff and la, la, la. So 2 weeks after that, he started jumping out windows. He jumped out the first floor window, and then while I was away at a conference, he jumped out the second-story window, still alive, thank God.
Yikes.
And, yeah, we brought him to a behavioral vet, and she felt like it's really due to anxiety. She felt like maybe due to thunder, due to this, due to that.
Okay.
And
we only
so
got about
we don't
15
Prozac.
Seconds here.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know. So Prozac, he's on Prozac. He seems a little bit less anxious, but I don't know. In your experience, have you ever had any dogs start to do this after they were sprayed by a skunk?
Okay, like, I'm 10 wondering seconds, if, Doc.
Well, any sort of obnoxious stimulus like that could set a dog over the edge if they were on the edge. So, I wish I could tell you for sure.
And I wish we had more time. That's an interesting call. And thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Springhouse Spa, Sharon Springs, New York, a modern-day spa in a historic setting providing customized spa services, massage, and skincare. Springhousespa.com for appointments. Maddox Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, specializing in search engine optimization and internet marketing since 1996, maddoxmarketing.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, waldorfsaratoga.org. And Unusual Wedding Rings at Moore in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, featuring a variety of jewelry specializing in repair, remodeling, and recycling, 413-236-9300. Thanks again to Dr. Carrie O'Loughlin. Thanks to Zach Malloy for handling the controls. Our phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall, and to you for listening. I'm Ray Graff. The news is next.